the Gospel of John, chapter 15, 1 through 11. Hear the word of the Lord. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them, they bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The number one question that I got after we returned from the Netherlands, I don't know if my colleagues had the same one. Can you guess? It wasn't, what did you learn? And it wasn't, what is Jesus up to in the Netherlands? And it wasn't even, did you sample the goods in one of Amsterdam's famous coffee shops where they sell a different type of indulgence? No, the number one question was, oh, did you see lots of tulips? Oh, I'll bet the tulip fields were beautiful. And I hated to disappoint all the folks that, as I told them that, no, we did not see a lot of tulips. Probably the most ubiquitous image we have of this country, and we didn't really see too many. The bitter wind snapped off the North Sea while we were there in early March, and there were several days of cold rain. You know that kind of rain that has almost decided to be snow, but not quite? That kind of rain, stinging our faces. The ground looked bare and unforgiving in the small gardens in front of homes. It was hard to imagine anything growing there. But as we traveled by train across the country, perhaps we did see tulip fields. We surely didn't recognize them as such, with spring just beginning to fight back against the cold of winter. But even though we didn't see the radiant blooms, there were tulips growing. Bulbs tucked into the bare soil, preparing to send forth shoots and break through that cold, hard ground. And that is such a powerful image. But we missed out on that beauty because our eyes are trained to see just what's on the surface, only to consider what our eyes can perceive. Many people would say with great authority that the church in Europe is dying. Some might even boldly claim that the church is dead. And that perhaps is the appearance. You look around and you see that not many people claim a faith of their own. You look around and you see massive church buildings that are maintained by foundations because the congregations they once served could no longer manage them. You look around and you see a white church that has been slow to respond to a drastically changing culture. All of that is true. But all of that is what is happening on the surface. Because where there is an appearance of death and dormancy, there is actually beautiful growth happening. Where the simple evidence is that there's not much to speak of in the way of mission or ministry in the Netherlands, there is something new breaking forth. Just like the bulbs God is quietly tending and nurturing in the soil, this in all stages, from a community that's just a couple months old, when they meet in the living room of one of their core team. Their pastor, Margarita, calls it an embryo, a bulb. Hard to imagine what it might become, but full of potential. To a church plant in an immigrant neighborhood that's supported by a congregation that's been around since the 14th century. A plant growing a strong stalk and stretching out leaves into the community. To a church that now claims hundreds of members, baptizing dozens of adults, led by a dynamic pastor. A beautiful, vibrant bloom. And we saw everything in between. God is patiently tending and growing and cultivating these communities. And then God blessed our eyes to see them all as beautiful, not just the ones that have already come to blossom. And for me, that was a gift I was able to carry home with me, to see potential where it'd be easier to only see fallow ground, to embrace patience, knowing that God is working within us and around us in ways that our eyes are slow to perceive, to see the beauty in the bulb.
Reading from Ecclesiastes 11, verses 5 and 6. Just as you do not know how the breath comes to the bones in the mother's womb, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. In the morning sow your seed, and at evening do not let your hands be idle, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. We were told that the generation growing up now in the Netherlands are the children and grandchildren of the lost son, so to speak. In other words, the youth there now are the offspring of parents and grandparents who rejected Christianity as a whole, not entirely, but generally did not choose to raise their children with religious beliefs or faith or any form of spirituality. So these young people do not have a Christian history, a Christian background. Does that mean then that there's no future for the Netherlands? There's no future for the church there? Well, let me echo, based on what Lauren said, something that I observed firsthand on our Ash Wednesday Taze service. Where did all these kids come from? In the church. Their parents didn't bring them there. They came of their own accord, or rather, of God's accord. You see, when I observed all these young people coming to church by themselves, without their parents, I saw evidence that a deep spiritual need was being overlooked, and that they could feel that. They felt that spiritual emptiness and were drawn to some place of faith. So I urge you all to pray for these young people in the Netherlands, for the future of the church there, but also to take from that experience that I've just shared with you, this insight, that where there is great need, there is also great potential. And also that God really does make beautiful things out of the dust and out of us. gospel according to Luke chapter 10. Then turning to the disciples, Jesus said to them privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it." On my first trip to Europe, I expected to see and learn things that challenged my assumptions, and did I ever get an education. When I learned about the trip, I thought, great, now I can go and learn about innovation and church planting. I started my journey with this expectation, and I assumed that us, our group, the faithful disciples, would go and see innovation in a land of unfaithfulness. But we didn't see a whole lot of innovation. What we saw was a whole lot of faithfulness. In my constant critique of the American church, I thought that we had dropped the ball on innovative models of ministry and that we had a structure problem here in the U.S. But as we experienced people and leaders of the church that were doing amazing work in their communities, we saw that it wasn't their innovation that made them successful, but it was their faithfulness. We didn't see crazy church services that pushed our understanding of worship or ways of gathering that redefine ecclesiology. Instead, we met people who have continued their discipleship even when it seemed like nothing was working. We met people whose parents and grandparents were at the front lines of the Holocaust and World War II and kept believing in the resurrection of Christ. We met people that cared more about their community than living up to the status quo. But success and growth are hard terms to define. I know I was quite challenged when we visited the home church that Laura had mentioned with six people, and the pastor was happy to announce the work that they had been doing and was a success. This vision of success was an understanding of faithfulness, and that is hard to find here in the States. When we visited a new monastic church gathering in the countryside, a service of a couple dozen folks on a Wednesday morning was a transformational movement in the region. I think we have confused innovation with faithfulness, and we have actually been seeing faithfulness when we wanted to label success as innovation. When we let Christ be our guide and not our budgets and our structure, then our vision and listening will be blessed, because we will be following.